Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. As always, appreciate you listening in. You know, any runners out there new to the sport or like the sport, it'd be nice for you to spread the word. Some folks feel that, you know, they get a good cross-section. That's what I'm trying to do here each week, to tap a lot of people's, pat a lot of people on the back and, you know, maybe give a few tips and then talk about some events coming up. We've got a great running community, even in the dead of winter. It's very active out there this morning, 5:30. It must have been about 50, 55 people maybe. I don't know, Somewhere in there out there with us this morning. And all of them going in all different directions as far as their what they're. Some are getting ready for Boston. Some are getting ready for a half marathon. Some are getting ready for a different marathon. And a lot of them getting ready for the 10-miler, and it's really great to have them out there, break them into groups based on which race you're doing, and then break it down a little further into your pace groups. And it's a good way to get the workout done early in the day, have some company, and push yourself along a little bit. But you know, just continue to count our blessings that the footing's good. We had a little bit of a hiccup over the weekend, and I call out to folks who were able to get out over the weekend and not have the weather be used totally as an excuse. There's ways to, pun intended, to tiptoe around it. But if you do have to miss it, maybe get inside and do a run in the pool or get on the treadmill or the elliptical. Do something. Keep your heart rate going. But you do have to be careful when ice like that, a lot of the sections in town, sidewalks, overpasses were icy. So you got to either walk through those sections or just go nice and slow, or else, go out a little later in the day when the footing might be a little better, shift gears a little bit. But, we've been blessed. 2 winters ago, we were under one of the worst scenarios going, and this winter it's been great. It's kicked off the weekend with a really nice event Friday evening, the Charlottesville Track Club, with Cynthia and Audrey, my wife and daughter, as the co-directors representing the track club, handed a check, only appropriate, that was an oversized check for $300,000 to the Breast Care Center at the university. We did this in the lobby of the beautiful new Emily Couric Cancer Center. Ed Howell was the MC, and gentleman who runs the Health Science Center, and Michael Weber runs the Cancer Center, was on hand, and Dr. Jennifer Harvey, Dr. David Brennan, cancer docs, were there to receive the check and talk about where the money goes. It's pretty amazing. Tops in the country, $300,000 for any one-day foot race event. And the Charlottesville Track Club is so proud of this event for so many reasons. There's so many layers to it, the health factor, the community factor, and then, of course, the fundraising component. And they talked about all the different places the money goes. It's pretty amazing. Every single penny stays here, and it's all used quite efficiently. Over the last 3 years, they've come close to $1 million. And over the last 12 years, 13 years, the race has raised close to $2 million. It'll be $2 million within, I would guess, an hour after the entries open in June. The money coming in will kick us over the $2 million mark, which is pretty impressive. Very cool. So congrats to all those folks that help with the event behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, and to Cynthia and Audrey and their work with Casey, who is their right-hand person over at the Cancer Center. I couldn't do it without her. Pretty amazing stuff. A lot of goings-on over the weekend on the indoor board, so to speak. UVA kicked off under new head coach Brian Fetzer, who seems to be, pun intended, hitting the ground running and so enthusiastic, trying to bring – he's got this whole mode of – bringing, because he comes from kind of a multifaceted background, he's not a specialty guy. He's
right.
He's kind of the master of the three-ring circus, so to speak. He's really big on, and you'd appreciate this, Mike, on the shot putters and the sprinters, the field folks, long jump, high jump folks, knowing right. The distance runners, as well as the distance runners know all those folks, and because they are one team, an indoor and an outdoors. For distance runners, two-thirds of your year, indoor and outdoor, or two-thirds of your 3 seasons, obviously. Right. And to go through it and not really know the people that well, or really grasp the whole sure. concept that you are a team is something they're really I'm striving to do, and it's great. And they're down at the Hokie Invitational, Lance Roller, second in the 600, Kevin Anding, second in 300. Jordan Lavendier, third in the 300. Vanessa Fabrizio, second in 800. And then the former UVA great, she's now running unattached, heading to the Olympic trials. Hopefully, Lindsay Harper, she won the 800. And just good to see these kids getting out there again. And Fetzer is very, I think, pleased with what he sees so far. I mean, he's just hit the ground, just was really hit Charlottesville the first week of January. So he hasn't even been here barely a month.
Yeah.
Penn State invite this coming weekend, and we'll start to see more of the distance kids getting more engaged. Their two new coaches, Peter and Todd, are doing it. I'm hearing nothing but great things from the athletes. A couple of athletes were by yesterday, and they were saying, man, do I like the new coach. Man, do I like the new coach. So it's great. So we're excited that we're off to the races in seemingly a good manner. Donnie Cowart, our great RMR runner, kind of our leader of the pack in regards to how far he's excelled. He's fifth in the nation coming out of 211 in the steeplechase. And, of course, we talk about him so often. He started off his 2012 assault towards London with a kind of a rust buster indoor meet up at the Armory. Rust buster meaning just kind of getting the legs turned in again and opening with a sweet little 402 mile. Tremendous effort on his part just in the beginning of the season just to get things going. And, of course, he already has qualified for the trials. And we really do believe, God willing, that all things going, that he's got a really good shot at being on the airplane to London wearing a USA jersey. Adam Visicke, as you all hear so often, one of my favorites, one of Buzz Mail's great runners over at Almaral, and being highly recruited. I mean, he's being looked at by a lot of really good schools, including our local university, which would be great. Right. He ran 4:24 in an early season mile. Nice little effort for him up at Woodbury Forest. And Dave Taylor, who competes for the guys on the other side of town, the Warriors at Western, a really tremendous 235,000. That time's good enough to win the state meet most years. So here he is early in the season with the 235,000. Very impressive. So good to see things going again. You know, we had a little bit of with Christmas holidays and finals and, you know, end across country.
Right.
Just we went into a little bit of a lull. So good to see these guys. And I've been coming in the store, and you know, just I tell you, I feel Cynthia and I feel so. I mean, it's cliche, but we do feel so blessed and so fortunate to be in an environment where around folks like you, Mike, all the healthy runners, all the healthy attitudes. It's wonderful, and to add to all of it, to be around all these young folk and to be living through not vicariously living through their hearing their stories and feeling a part of their lives. It's just super exciting, and the enthusiasm, and then, of course, dealing with them with injuries and, you know, kind of getting people through those moments, too. It's a really special place, and we're lucky to be here. Frostbite 15K, that's 9.3 miles down in Richmond over the weekend, their annual big event down there. A few of our local folks went down and did quite well. Jennifer Hochrein, she ran under 7-minute pace, pretty doggone decent for a January run, Jennifer, very good, and she was the first female in the 40 and over division, period. And when they say masters, I mean everybody, 40, 50, 60. She won it all. Hosni, one of our local legends, she's 50 years old. She was just behind Jennifer by about 45 seconds. She was second masters, so we kind of mopped up in that division. Then George Rich, who runs the anesthesiology department over at UVA, he's quite the runner. He ran 64:55, which is, wow, he's chugging along decent time. George high up in his age group, too. The Charlottesville 10-miler training program, we got a big move this week. We're moving over to the University Hall parking lot. Of course, we've been at Charlottesville High School all winter. Why? Because we need to use a track to get people started with their running. UVA track was closed. Rick Lilly kindly allowed us to use the track. It's been wonderful. Problem, we're not near the 10-miler course. So, Mike, you can appreciate you want to start training on the 10-miler course for your long run. Program one is up to 6 miles now. 6 miles. Pretty amazing. From zero back in October.
That's awesome.
And they're, you know, to get to the 10-miler course from Charlottesville High School, it's about 2.5 miles. So you get over there 2.5 miles, run on the course for about 0.5 mile, and then have to turn around and come back the 2.5 miles.
Right.
It's tough. So, and plus, they'd be picking up the course somewhere about 4 miles over there in front of Bodo's and Preston there, somewhere in that area.
Okay.
Well, they've missed out on that first whole section.
Sure.
So we're moving over to UVA, even though the track is not open, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Track is not open yet. We're going to use the UVA, the University Hall parking lot, to do a few loops.
Okay.
Just to get them warmed up, because we do as a group. But Program 1 does not need to be on a track anymore. So we don't need the track as much. They'll just pick up onto the 10-mile course, and away they go. They'll do their 2.5 or 3 out and, you know, 2.5, 3 back to get their 6 miles in, whatever. So pretty cool. That starts this Saturday. We have over 500 folks in that training program. Of course, the 10-miler is open. The entries are flying in. No fear of it closing because it isn't one of those events. So SchultzelTrackClub.org. Speaking of the track, like I said, it's still closed to the public. You'll see folks up there in the afternoon. The team is using it right now to work out. But UVA still has it closed. They're still working on some construction, the steps leading up to in the entranceway. So let's continue to be patient. I did get the word from Brian that it looks like the first week of March, Mike. Pretty cool. Not that far off. And, of course, why the little bit of anxiousness on UVA's part to get things cleaned up and ready to go is because they're hosting ACCs on the 19th of April. Very, wow. Very cool. We're all excited about that. First time we hosted it in God knows how many years. Do you ever remember us hosting the conference meet and track?
So, I cannot.
And, you know, a chance for everyone to get out and see some of these names we've talked about the last few years, including the Jersey Bomber himself. Wouldn't it be neat to get to see him live? Robbie Andrews, you know, putting the hit on everybody else in the conference. So, you know, we're going to make a big deal of that, and Brian certainly is too. So anyway, just be patient with the track, and we're, again, most appreciative. Brian tells us, kind of official word, that right now it looks like we'll be able to use the track as the public from 5:30 in the morning till 10 in the morning. Pretty doggone generous.
Wow.
And then he's keeping it closed in the afternoon initially anyway. Certainly during practice hours, he's going to see how long the practice hours go and decide when they want to maybe open it up in the evening. But for now, it's 5:30 in the morning until 10 in the morning. That's pretty doggone generous. And UVA has a parking area there that's designated if you're using the track so you don't get towed. It's marked over there and right across the way. So all good, really good stuff. I want to talk a little bit about managing your personal running. This is something I'm getting increasingly more frustrated and then also exhilarated when people actually do it and they're successful at it. But you have to know what your personal limitations are and what makes you tick. Do you get injured when you're on pavement? Do you get injured more when you're on hills? Do you do better when you're on hills? Do you do better when you're on concrete? Do you do better when you're on the trails? Do you need 1 or 2 days a week running in the pool? Are you a person that can only run 3 days a week on the road? Because when you run the fourth day, you seem to have problems. So get off the road, get on the elliptical, get in the pool, whatever. Are you a person that doesn't do well when you increase your mileage by more than 10% a week? You shouldn't be doing that anyway. But how are you feeling on any given week? Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling extra fatigued? Have you been traveling? Have you been sick? Gear back. Take a few days off. Take a week off. You've been skiing. I just talked to someone the other day. They're going out west to ski. When you're going out west to ski, it's a little different than skiing at Wintergreen. No slight to Wintergreen, but when you're in snow that's 6, 8, 10 feet deep and you're going through fresh powder and you're doing it all day long, because usually when you fly somewhere to ski, you're not going to just do it for a few hours. You can do it for 3 straight days, sun up to sundown, maybe not even sundown, maybe even into the evening. You're going to be exhausted. You come back. Be careful as you reengage yourself back into running that you don't jump your mileage back up to where you were before. I mean, you get sick, you lose 2 weeks of training. You just don't jump back in again, knees back. So it's, I feel like there's been some misunderstanding of this, and people are not managing their own personal run. Well, you told me to do this, Mark, and the program said to do that. Yes, but I always leave that little caveat to shift gears. And of course, when you have a coach, someone like myself, you want to communicate with that coach too about these types of things. Stress fractures. We just seem to see almost a crisis level of stress fractures, you know, across the country with people running. And it happens usually, not always, but usually for one of like 3 or 4 reasons. Main reason, sudden change in your routine with your mileage. You go from 20 miles a week, you jump up to 30 or 35. It's a 10% rule to 15% tops. So if you're doing 20 miles 1 week, you do about 22, 23 tops following week,
right?
Maybe 24. That's kind of pushing it. But you don't jump up to 30. Now, the only time you would do that is if I have a lot of my runners that are at 55 miles a week training for a marathon. They have what we call a recovery week.
Mm-hmm.
So they drop down to 35 or 40. The next week, they can go right back up to 55. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about breaking new ground. Your virgin turf, you've never run 30 miles in a week before, and your previous week's 25. Same thing for your long runs. If you've done a 10-mile run, you don't jump to 14. You jump to 11, 12 tops.
Mm.
So that's one of the main reasons people get it. Second reason, change in intensity. So if you add speed to your workouts, as you're adding distance, whoa, be careful. It's okay to add speed, but you want to add it gently.
Right.
So right now we got the Boston folks just starting out with a little bit of speed. They're doing 100-meter pickups, just a straightaway on a track.
Yeah.
Little turnover pickups, four of them, then six of them, then eight of them over a three-week period before I start them in their actual speed sessions, getting their body used to that. Sudden change in intensity, wow, look out. You put the two together, jump the mileage and jump the intensity, I can just hand you a piece of paper and it's going to say, here's the doctor's phone number.
Right.
Why, Mark? Why are you giving me this? In about 3 days, you're going to have a pain. It's going to be in your shin or in your foot. And you're going to need this doctor's phone number. It sounds cocky, but I'm seeing this more and more and more, that the crystal ball is not as hazy as we thought it was. Change in terrain, change in surface. Another big reason. You've been used to flat. You go to a lot of hills. Chance you're going to get hurt if you don't initiate yourself into it gently. What does gently mean? You don't go. You cut your mileage back as you increase the intensity of the terrain. If the terrain's getting hillier, and you do 30 miles a week on flat, you don't start with 30 miles a week on the hills. Start with 20. Of course, we don't think this way because we're motivated and over-motivated as runners. I've made these mistakes myself. And then, of course, surface, you go from soft to hard. That's another classic reason. And then one of the big reasons I see with stress factors, and be listening to this one because this could be you, is life. You're pushing hard, a little extra stress at work, you've been traveling more, a little extra stress at home, kids, whatever, marriage, I don't know. There's stressors everywhere. Those stressors start to tip. Running is not a sedative. It's not a pill you take and it makes everything better. It makes you feel pretty good, but if you're running tired, you're running inefficient. And when you're running inefficient, your gait mechanics are off. When your gait mechanics are off, you're hitting heavier. And when you're hitting heavier, you're going to get injured. So pay attention. And it can be sometimes as subtle as just adding one. Somebody recently took their 3-mile, 3-day-a-week regimen and added 2 more days to it, went to 5 days. Then they introduced speed. They did this all very quickly. They're out for the winter now. So stress factor. Tough. So let's be careful out there with it. Big call out to longtime friend Ian Rogel. I've actually literally watched him grow up. I met him back in 1981, 82. He was probably all of about 9 or 10 years old then. He was helping at the finish line, the 10-miler, and was helping also that day at the finish line. And I might have been 80. And Ian was just his little shaver, and we worked together. We hit it off. I mean, I was probably in my mid to late 20s then. You don't think of a 10-year-old and a 26-year-old hitting up, but he had a really good sense of humor. He was kind of brash for a kid that age, and I remember he was kind of jerking me around a little bit and teasing me. And I said, you're just like your father's, Al. And I had coached Al through the early 80s, and I'm physician over at the university, great guy. And we've been fast friends ever since. He's done a lot of favors for me over the years. What I'm getting to here, I'm editing this a little bit, but Ian went through Almore High School, then went off to college, over to JMU to become an athletic trainer, cut his teeth over it with Ethan Saliba and Joe Geek at UVA, did a lot of internship work over there with those guys, and they really taught him the ropes, two of the best in the business. He ended up at Louisa, athletic trainer there, moved over to Charlottesville, and then ultimately got his first college gig at Mary Washington. And he ended up just recently getting the 2011 Virginia Collegiate Athletic Trainer of the Year. You can Google Mike. It's a pretty impressive article on him. We've got it on our website, on our Facebook page, and I'm going to blog about him today for my daily run that I do for the Progress. I'm really impressed with this, but not surprised. He's richly deserved. He said one of the first few phone calls he got was from Joe Geek and Ethan Saliba to say, way to go, Ian.
Very cool.
And Ian, just a really giving guy. He helps at so many of the local meets when he was living here locally. Of course, he can't do that anymore. And one of the neat things he did for us over the years is he'd come in before hours on a Saturday and clinic our staff, no charge. And he did coaches' clinics, too. He would do for athletic directors and coaches free clinics on just the basics. What are the basic injuries you see? Mike, being a guy that covers sports, athletic trainers are probably some of the most underrated. They're kind of the phantom, quiet people lurking, kind of almost the Forrest Gumps in the background there. You don't really notice them, but you start taking photographs and looking. If you were to take a YouTube video of Tony Bennett at halftime, or with Mike London at a timeout, and in the background is that athletic trainer, always there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're listening, they're paying attention. They probably know more about some of the athletes than even the coaches do. No slight to the coaches. They probably know more intimate things about them, because when you're injured or getting injured, you know, who's your go-to person, the athletic trainer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what those guys do is you can't put a value on it. I mean,
it doesn't get talked about enough.
It really doesn't.
Probably for good reason, I guess, because, you know, you got athletes, you got coaches, you got all those dynamics.
Right.
But, you know, here's a moment I'd like to call out all these guys. There are some that are better than others, obviously, and there's some that maybe aren't quite, you know, on top of it. But most of them today, a guy like Ethan Saliba is going to be the type of guy saying, young man, you're breaking down. Be careful here. Get over. Do this. And, you know, he's just telling him to put an ice bag on there. Yep.
Yeah.
Ice, good as the – nobody's ever been able to prove that that stuff's bad for you. Put the ice bag on. Take it easy. Maybe you ought to sit out the rest of the practice. Coach Bennett, come here a second. I think so-and-so ought to be sitting out today, because this is not great what I'm seeing. I don't know if that dialogue goes on with at UVA, but if it doesn't, it probably should, because, you know, these athletic trainers – are really valuable.
They really are. It's funny, it got me jogged my memory here. 3 years ago, I was fortunate enough to go to Atlanta and help with the ACC tournament, and actually call ACC tournament basketball games the non-UVA games. And it just so happened that I actually started to get sick that week, and I was like, oh, here's this great opportunity.
Right, your big gig, your big moment.
Some play-by-play, and I was just under the weather, not feeling good, and Mr. Saliba and the staff there, they fixed me. I don't remember what it was now, but 24 hours later, I was a new person. So, I mean, very kind and giving, even to the third string play-by-play guys coming in for some work. I mean, it was really helpful.
And the thing about Ian learning from those guys, and to call them out a second, and Ian has the same philosophy, is they've always done stuff ethically, morally. It's a clean. Virginia's had this clean program forever. I mean, you go back a generation and we're clean, but more than that, beyond it, they have the best interest of the athlete's future in mind. And the old cliche thing, not playing someone when they're hurt. I feel that pretty strongly here. A lot of times someone's sitting out and they're being cautious and, no, come on, can't we put him in? Can't we put him in? Nope. They always have that supreme overriding thought process,
big picture,
which I've learned from people like this myself as a coach. I got into it with someone the other day, big time, one of my athletes, who was pushing me to start doing some speed workouts prematurely. And I said, you are not ready. Your injury, you're not completely over it, blah, blah. I had this morning, 5:30 in the morning, somebody came up to me, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. Can I do this today? No.
Right.
It's 29 degrees. You're feeling something. Your engine's running rough. Worst thing I can have you do now is jump on the track and do some speed. So, you know, goes back to kind of the personal management issue, and athletic trainers are a big part of that. I think that's pretty much it. We got Valentine's Run, thanks to the Amnesty International, Charles Track Club, and the great Carol Finch. That's February 11th out at Old Trail. It's our next local race on tap. You can go to charlesotracklub.org. That is a purely 100% not-for-profit event, as all the Charles Track Club events are. So, really, if you want to get out and do a little bit of racing, we are still meeting every Wednesday morning. If you're a person that's looking to break 90 minutes or 85 or 80 or 75, 70, 65 minutes, maybe trying to break 60 minutes, Tim Myler, give me a call. We'll get you signed up for our Wednesday speed workout. So, all right, I think that's about it. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a good week. Get out there and stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.